Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Wednesday, November 27th. Coming up today, a warning from a woman with a sight condition over the dangers of e-scooters, improvements to water quality at a Kent beach, and we have the details of one of the most inspirational stories of the year. A Canterbury man who lost both his legs is vying to become the first double above the knee amputee to climb the highest peaks on each of the seven continents. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A cocktail bar in Sittingbourne could have its license suspended after complaints about irresponsible bottomless brunches. Now, this is a bit of a tricky story, and reporter Joe Crossley has joined me to unpack some of the details. First of all, Joe, what do we know about the licensing review at Lang's Bar and Cocktail Lounge in the town centre, and why is it happening?
Yeah, so it was called by the landlord of the property. So it's a London firm called Decorum, which actually took over the building in March. Lang's has been there well before that. And basically they said that when they came into the bar, when they took it over, the managers didn't have the proper documents for fire safety, which sort of raised the alarm bells to start off with. Over the next 18 months or so, they had disputes about getting these fire safety works corrected, getting all the work done. But during that process, it also found problems with the bar in terms of what it calls irresponsible bottomless brunches. There was also complaints from other businesses in the area, and one of the main ones was about the noise coming from the bar. The bar's an over 21s bar. It should have it should finish at 2 o'clock, so it's quite late night. And basically what the complaints were was that there was excessive noise coming from it during these late night finishes.
And what restrictions could be put in place?
So the landlord has asked for quite a few changes. One of the ones is actually removal of the two managers, which are Leon Dawson and Piers Butler. They've also asked for the shutting times to finish at 11 rather than 2 o'clock. They've asked for the bar's licence to be suspended until all the fire regulations that they've asked for, which have come from an independent fire risk assessment, are also carried out or in place. So those are the three main things that they've asked for. There are also a few other things that they've also asked for, but those are the main aspects.
Now, what do the owners, Leon Dawson and Piers Butler, have to say about the claims?
Yeah, so they hit back. Basically all the accusations that were put to them during the licence review, which actually took place on Monday. They say that they've completed the fireworks. They say that the fire service has actually been to the bar and they had no problems. They say that a noise management plan has been put in place already, and that started in April, although Travel Lodge disputed that. And they also say that their bottomless brunches aren't irresponsible, and that many other pubs and bars carry out similar promotions. Although they did admit to breaching their license review, their license terms in terms of actually letting in under 21s. They said that they actually allow those people to come into the bar on request, and they would give permission for that. So they say that it's not irresponsible and that their customers are well behaved most of the time.
Thanks so much, Joe. Council bosses are yet to decide what, if any, action will be taken.
Kent Online News.
The M20 is back open this morning following a fatal crash. A man in his 30s died after a car, lorry and HGV collided on the coastbound stretch between Ashford and Maidstone yesterday. Another driver was seriously injured. The motorway was closed for around 15 hours and reopened just before midnight. A man's gone on trial following the death of a couple who were hit by a car while walking their dog on a country lane near Maidstone. Scott Gunn was driving his BMW along Thurnham Lane in Bearstead when the collision happened in January last year. The 38-year-old from Grove Green Road in Wavering denies two offences of causing death by dangerous driving, although he has admitted the lesser charge of careless driving. A Kent man is among 120 more people charged with offences under the Terrorism Act for allegedly supporting Palestine action. The pensioner from Gillingham had previously been arrested following a protest in Parliament Square in London in August. The 75-year-old is due to appear at Westminster Magistrates Court in the coming weeks. An anti-immigration campaigner is among two people charged following a confrontation linked to the removal of England flags in Faversham. Police were called to reports of a disturbance in Love Lane on Sunday night. A 29-year-old man's been charged with assault, while another man's accused of having a bladed article. They're both during court in January. Two men have been charged with conspiring to steal nine cars after police stopped a flatbed truck in Dartford. Several vehicles on the back were believed to have false number plates when officers made the arrest on St Vincent's Road last Friday. It's part of a crackdown on vehicle crime. Three men and two women were also detained following a police chase in Chatham earlier this month. Now head to Kent Online to see pictures of a man police want to speak to following reports of an attempted robbery in Chatham. It's alleged a member of staff was threatened with a hammer at a shop on Holland Road in November. The suspect left the scene empty-handed.
Kent Online News.
Two people have suffered burns and smoke inhalation after a fire at a hotel in Chatham. The air ambulance was called following the blaze on Railway Street yesterday evening. One person was flown to hospital for treatment. It's unclear how it started. A pedestrian's been taken to hospital following a crash in Chollock near Ashford. They were hit by a car after it collided with a lorry near the Stag Pub yesterday lunchtime. Another person was also taken to hospital for treatment. Three fire engines have been sent to tackle a lorry fire on the M20 near Maidstone. The blaze caused long delays between junctions 6 and 7 yesterday evening. No one was hurt and it's unclear what caused the fire. More than a dozen drivers caught reversing on the A2 to avoid a serious collision could face a fine. Watling Street coastbound near Gravesend was closed due to the crash on Sunday. 16 drivers reversed on the hard shoulder to return to an earlier slip road. Police have confirmed the offence carries a penalty of £100 and 3 points on your licence. A Maidstone woman who has the same sight condition as comedian Chris McCausland has told us about the moment she was almost hit by an e-scooter. Lucille Franks was walking through an underpass in the Fairmeadow part of town with her guide dog Mabel when it happened. Thankfully, neither were hurt, but Lucille says it could have been a lot worse.
The first I knew anything was happening was Mabel went into the side of me really hard. She's never done it before or since that hard. And I sort of got my balance. And once I did that, I realised that there was, I'm fairly sure it was an adult, on an e-scooter cutting in front of us. So my guess is that they came behind us at speed, came round us and then sort of cut in front. And they were going really fast. And thankfully, I knew there was a bench nearby and I sort of stopped, settled myself, checked Mabel, made sure, because I didn't know she'd been hit or not because she'd hit me so hard. And when I got to where I was going, I asked them to check and said, look, do you think, you know, she's OK? And then when we went back home, she was very cautious in the tunnel. So I gave her lots of love and lots of encouragement to go to her favourite cafe afterwards. And thankfully, I don't think we've had a problem since. But it could have been different. You know, that incident could have affected her. It could have been that every time she saw one after that, she got anxious. And it may have stopped us working together. She may have had to have retired and I'd be back to using a white cane just because of that one incident.
I was going to say, how serious could it have been for Mabel? Because obviously, you know, she's done all of her training, but this is quite a new thing. And if it had caused her to really panic every time she saw one, would it literally have been that she would have had to have retired?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we would have got in contact with guide dogs, obviously, if we thought there was any issues. And then they would have done some training with her themselves to see if this was something that could get resolved with practice and treats and love, you know, or whether this was something that was always going to be an issue, in which case they may have decided to retire her. And then I would have had to go back through the process again, back on the waiting list that can be a couple of years or more. And all that time I'd have been out without a dog.
I mean, that would have just been a heartbreaking situation. So I'm so pleased that didn't happen. Yeah. Because how much of a difference, you explained a bit at the beginning, but how much of a difference does she make to your life? It must be much nicer going out with Mabel and knowing she's there than just having the cane and assuming that people know what to do and maybe make sure they're not in your way, things like that.
Yeah, she makes a big difference. I'm far more confident when I'm out with her. She loves going to new places. She loves it when it's busy. She's actually happier when it's busy. And if we go to somewhere like London and we get off the train, and you can see her ears prick up and that, like she's saying, "Oh yay, it's London! We're going to do something exciting and different today." She loves people, which can be a bit of an issue, obviously, because when she's working, I really need her to be concentrating on me, not people that are unfortunately perhaps not doing the right thing. But yeah, it makes a big difference. Her job number one is to get me from A to B safely, but she is also, a comfort blanket, perhaps, might be a good way of describing it. She really helps my confidence, not just when I'm out with her, but I'm more confident in other things I do as well. There's that knock on, if you like, that you get more confident with other things, because you're more confident doing everyday things like going shopping.
It is still illegal to ride the vehicles in public places. Lucille's urging parents not to buy them for children this Christmas.
Kent Online News.
There's been another confirmed case of bird flu in Kent. It's been discovered at a poultry business near Lydd. A 3 kilometre protection zone has been set up to try and stop the disease from spreading. A teenage girl from Medway whose chronic pain was incorrectly put down to her appendix has been diagnosed with a rare condition. 17-year-old Kenza Wallace endured countless trips to the GP and A&E, but was given painkillers and sent home. She's been diagnosed with MRKH, which affects her uterus, and is receiving treatment in a London hospital. She's due to have surgery next year. Now, today we can bring you a truly remarkable and inspirational story. Canterbury mountaineer Harry Budamagar is getting ready to complete the final part of his 7 Summits challenge. Harry lost both his legs while serving in Afghanistan with the British Army's Gurkha Regiment in 2010. He's already made history as the first double above the knee amputee to climb Mount Everest. Now he's climbing the highest peaks on each of the 7 continents to raise awareness of disability and inspire others. He and I were able to sit down for a chat.
I had no plan doing 7 summits. My aim was to do Mount Everest because I grew up in Nepal up to age of 19, and from very small age, from the primary school, we are educated that Mount Everest is tallest peak in the world. It's in Nepal. We Nepalese people take it as a, a pride and identity. And I was very, very curious from my childhood, and I couldn't able to climb it when I was serving, even I wanted. And after losing my legs, whenever I saw the snow-capped mountain, I just remembered Everest, and it took quite a long time to just test myself, and later we tested myself, and we tried, and it happened. The main reason for I do that is to simply is making awareness of disability, because when I was injured, when I lost my legs, I didn't know what to do. And I've been to trouble, mainly, turning into alcoholic. Tried to take my life, and there's so many things that I went through. I wasted nearly 2 years of my time. And I do not want other disabled people or other people who are in hardship to, face it, make sure they believe that they can do something. But also, it's not just us. It's the people, our families, our friends, the community, the government who look after us. I think they need to believe us as well, so they can treat us well. They don't discriminate us. They don't ban us climbing a mountain. lots of things happened before, so make sure it doesn't happen again. And we need to make awareness to ourselves, but to the others as well.
It's just incredible, Harry. And did you say that when you're doing the climb, will you have a team with you?
Yes, I have got a two team, pretty much permanent team members who were on Everest. They come around to help and assist me because they know about my legs. They know about how I climb. So, going to the mountain that someone you don't trust is kind of like going to suicide yourself, I think. It's like a battlefield in a mountain, and we had Everest was very, very difficult. We split the team, team left us, and some guys came and helped us out. And these two of the guys that who went on Everest with me, I take them everywhere around the world. And why I choose Seven Summit is very simply making awareness of disability. So we made a little bit of awareness of in Nepal, a little bit of awareness in the UK, and doing once is not going to be enough. It's not going to change overnight. So this is why I dedicated my life to making awareness of disability. I choose Seven Summit, which is around the world, so we can make more awareness around the world, but also inspire other people to climb their own mountain, whatever that is.
Antarctica's Mount Vincent is the last peak to climb. It'll take him between 3 and 4 weeks. He sets off on Boxing Day.
Kent Online News.
A swimming ban at a Kent beach is going to be lifted following the release of the latest water quality results. Deal Castle Beach has jumped several ratings to good, meaning all restrictions in place since November last year can be removed. Reporter Alex Keir has been speaking to Lindsay Faulkner from the Environment Agency.
Absolutely fantastic result for this year. So really a testament to the partnership working that's gone on at Deal Council, at Deal Castle. So lots of intelligence from the community, from the councils and us working with the water company. All that work has kind of pulled together to really see the improvements. So some of the specifics the water company have been working on: misconnections, so whether foul drains might be incorrectly connected to the surface water. Those have been removed, so none of that water now getting into our bathing water, which is really good news. It's fantastic that it's jumped from poor to good. Just really shows that the work that's been carried out has made a significant difference. It's the results in themselves that demonstrate that the water quality was so much improved this year that it's managed to get up to good rather than go to sufficient, which is fantastic.
And as for the beaches that remain poor, what was the difference in those beaches that meant that they kept their advising not to swim warnings? In particular, Dymchurch and Littlestone, I know the Romney Marsh has had quite a, especially Littlestone, it's been three years poor in a row. What was found there that was different to elsewhere on the coast that kind of was enforced to keep those poor ratings in place?
Yeah, so every bathing water is unique. So each one's got its own catchment area. So with different pressures that feed into the water quality at the bathing water. Really disappointing that they've remained at poor this year. I know the community will be really disappointed by that, as are we. The amount of work that we've been doing with the community groups and with the partnership did show some improved water quality results early in the season. So we're really pleased that the work has made a difference. But it was very dry earlier in the year. And as it started to get wet towards the end of the season, we started to see the results deteriorate somewhat. So still lots of work to do there with the partners and with the community to make sure that we're really driving for improved water quality moving forward.
Beaches at Dymchurch and Littlestone on Romney Marsh returned negative ratings, leaving their status as poor. New proposals have been submitted for a traveller site in Gravesham after it was revealed a previous scheme was approved for the wrong field. Planning officials failed to pick up on the fact they'd given the green light for the wrong site in Sole Street. A retrospective application for the right land has now been lodged. It's already received 11 objections. A former hotel in Margate is going to be converted into new council flats. Bolsa spent £1.6 million buying the Bicken Hall site on Edgar Road in Cliftonville in 2023. Plans to turn it into 9 apartments have now been given the go-ahead. We're told it'll help provide seriously needed housing to meet local needs. The boss of a bus company has criticised a decision to close the public toilets at a Kent shopping centre. Roland Eglinton, who runs Chalkwell Coach Hire, says shutting the facilities at the Forum in Sittingbourne shows a shocking lack of consideration for his driver's welfare, as the toilet block is the closest to the town's bus hub. Swale Council say they've been paying thousands in maintenance costs and made the decision based on the outcome of a public survey. A free Christmas event in Woolmer has been cancelled as local bosses struggle to keep up with soaring costs. The town council say the Christmas carols and classic celebrations can't go ahead following changes to Dover District Council's event policy. They say they've been hit with charges they've they've never seen before. A spokesperson for DDC says the changes are to ensure consistency and safety at events across the district. Rochester Bridge is going to be partially closed overnight for 5 nights while broadband works take place. One lane Rochester bound will be shut between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. every night next week, starting on Monday, December 1st. Diversions are going to be in place. And an iconic building in Chatham has reopened following a £4 million renovation. It's taken 2 years to transform the Grade 2 listed St John's Church in the town centre. Matthew Gert from the Diocese of Rochester says he's pleased to see the building brought back into use.
What we really were lacking was a place of art for Chatham. A place that people of Chatham have loved, have been married in, had their funerals in, had parties in. It's got so much history and so much meaning for so many people that it would be wrong if we had turned it into flats. And frankly, when we asked people what they wanted us to do with it, they said they'd like it to be a church. And that's what we've done.
As well as a place of worship, the new site also has meeting rooms, community spaces and a cafe. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, no pop-ups and exclusive stories. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. For more details, just head to kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.